Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Welcome back to the Jeff Press Podcast. My name is Justin Fareed, and I'm joined, as always, by my friend, Mike Luciano. Mike, we're about like 2 or 3 minutes late. Apologies for that. But how are you doing today, buddy? What's going on?
Well, we're here, which is more than I can say for everybody who affiliates himself with the Jets in some form or fashion, because we got a couple holdouts at Jets minicamp. But it's still a good day. The sun is shining. The wind is out to the north. It's about 80 degrees, so I can't complain too much.
You got any trips booked that might interfere with our podcast next week? Anything
like that? Well, actually, later in July, I actually do. But
thank you for letting me know months in advance, and now it's not a big deal.
Well, there we go. So we'll peek behind the curtain and get to look at the wizard here, Jet Press fans. So we'll get into the two big absences of, I think, varying degrees of concern fans should have, and we'll talk about some things that we've seen, some things that we've heard all over the Jets airwaves. So before that, let's just get all the housekeeping out of the way. You can always find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Spotify and Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We are on all those sites, and we're on YouTube at the Jet Press. That's where you can subscribe. That's where you can like the stream. Both those things are really big helps for promoting the stream and the algorithm. You can also leave a good review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps. But never mind all that, Justin. Let's dive into the elephant in the room, where we wish it wasn't this big of a story, but it is. Aaron Rodgers is not at Jets minicamp. The media is running what, not to just sound like the media is out to get us here, but I mean, this is really, really going off the left train to bonkers town lately, because Aaron Rodgers, now the hullabaloo came around unexcused being the absence, and Aaron Rodgers' unexcused absence makes him sound delinquent and makes it sound like he's sticking it to people, or makes it sound like he wants something out of the Jets. Because normally unexcused absences are money related. They're financial holdouts. According to this, it is a trip, but I don't know what this trip is. I don't know if he's tripping, if he's indulging in mind expanding substances. We don't know what it is, because he does do those things. We don't know if that's what it is. We don't know if this is RFK related. I don't know. I don't know, and I don't want to know, quite frankly. But he claims that, or everybody pretty much claims that he told the Jets a while ago that he was not going to be here for this, and the Jets were okay with it because he was at everything else. He was at OTAs. He was at media day. You know, getting pictures and all the new uniforms. He was at all that. He's been in constant contact with the Jets. Seems like I thought this would be kind of a nothing thing, because even though it counts as unexcused, he is kind of excused because he told the team he wasn't going to be there and they said okay. And the firestorm that has come out from this, I've never seen anything like it. It reminds me of, because I'm also a Yankees fan, for those that don't know. Like, I get people like ripping on the Yankees and, you know, trying to hope that they lose and all that because you're spending all the money in the big team. I get all that. But even though the Yankees haven't won a championship in so long, they've been close a lot, and they're usually very successful. They've still have all those seasons in a row of winning seasons. It makes sense as to why there's a lot of like, ha-ha, look at the Yankees whenever they struggle. The Jets are like one of the most pathetic teams in the league in the last decade. Like, let's be honest about it here. And every move, it's like, ha-ha, LOL, Jet. Like, it just is this weird fascination with keeping them down. Even though it's something that I thought would be pretty inconsequential, the Jets seem to think they thought it would have been pretty inconsequential. They sound surprised that it kind of took off like this. I mean, I've seen posts, I'm taking the under on the Jets this year. Really? Really? Because Aaron Rodgers didn't show up to two practices in June, 3 months before the season start. Really? That's what you're going to do now? It's bringing out some of the worst takes I've seen. Like, if Aaron Rodgers just went AWOL, that's different. This is not that. Why is it being treated as that? Well, because it's Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Fine. That doesn't mean you have to throw logic out the window.
Yeah. Look, Mike, it's June. It is the middle of June.
That is true, yes.
People have nothing to talk about. After minicamp is over, that's it, dude. There is nothing for another month until training camp gets here. So I'm not shocked at all that this is how the situation is being covered. I'm not shocked at all that this has been the reaction. It is June. This is the Jets, which they're always covered this way. The Jets are always covered in a way that makes it basically seem as though the entire football landscape and media and fans are all waiting for the next funny thing to laugh at the Jets about. That's just how this organization is covered. Part of that is absolutely their own fault because of years of, well, doing things that are really funny over and over again. And then the other part of it is this is Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers has made himself a target in the past based on his own comments. He's aware of that because of his own actions, his comments, whatever you want to call it. He is going to be covered differently than other quarterbacks.
And he seems fine with it.
Right. If this was Derek Carr, if this was Joe Burrow, people wouldn't give a shit because they're not targets. They're not targets of the media. They haven't made themselves targets to the degree that Aaron Rodgers has. So I don't have an issue with people like firing off jokes. That's one thing where it's like, oh, haha, where's Rodgers? Is he at an RFK rally? Haha, is he wherever, right? Is he on an ayahuasca retreat? Whatever, man. It's funny. It's jokes. People are going to get their jokes off on social media. I don't really care about that. What I do think is dumb and I do care about are the think pieces, are the people that are saying that somehow Aaron Rodgers missing two padless practices in the middle of June is going to somehow impact how the Jets perform in 2024, that has any kind of bearing on the success or lack thereof that they will have this season. That makes no sense. You mentioned the I'm taking the Jets under tweet. It's just dumb. Just complete bullshit. There is no logic behind it. It is people just trying to pile on the Jets hate bandwagon, the Rodgers hate bandwagon, which, again, I understand if you don't like Aaron Rodgers. Like, that is a totally valid take. The man has some controversial opinions. And, again, he's made himself a target. I don't feel bad for Rodgers for people making these jokes, right? But I do think it's very dumb to kind of believe that this has any bearing on the success that the Jets will have. That's the issue that I really have with it. I mean, I even saw, you know, now I guess the narrative will also be that, oh, you know, Rodgers is abandoning his teammates and all this shit. No, they don't care, guy. Like, they don't care. They don't.
Wright, who I normally like a lot, this is why Aaron Rodgers is a giant phony. Like, all right, can we calm down?
It's dumb. Like, if the players don't care, which, again, by all accounts, they don't care. If this isn't a situation of like, oh, there are absolutely some fans like this. Like, some Andy doesn't – it's not just Jets fans. Some fans will defend their team no matter what. They'll defend their player no matter what. I have not defended Aaron Rodgers no matter what. I've certainly not defended the Jets no matter what. In fact, you'll see on this show, probably when we talk about the Hassan Reddick situation, that I will not defend the Jets no matter what. This is not one of those situations where you can just where like I'm defending the Jets blindly or I'm defending Rodgers blindly. By all accounts, the players don't care. By all accounts, Aaron Rodgers has been a model teammate and a model leader since he stepped foot at Florham Park. From last year, from last spring, he was showing up to every voluntary event. This year, he showed up to every voluntary event. This seems to be a situation where he communicated to the Jets months in advance, hey, I won't be able to make it to this mandatory minicamp. Or, you know, I will be away on these days. Then mandatory minicamp was scheduled. There's a conflict. Rodgers communicated with the Jets, told him ahead of time. It's not a big deal. If he was not there during OTAs, if he wasn't here during the spring at all, this would be a genuine discussion because it's like, okay, dude, let's get you in the building. Let's get you acquainted with the new guys. that would be a situation. Aaron Rodgers was there for every single OTA practice. There were like 20 something plus Jets players that missed at least one OTA practice. Aaron Rodgers was not one of them. He was there for every single practice. He's been there every step of the way throughout the spring offseason program. It's not a concern that he's not here in the middle of June. You'd like him there, but ultimately, who gives a shit? It's not going to matter come September.
Was it a concern when Tom Brady missed like a week of camp?
11 days. 11 days. In July and August.
And yeah, I know the Bucs were bad after that. I guarantee you that was not the reason why. Because Tom Brady was 45 years old. That's why they were bad that year.
But it's a lot easier to discuss narratives with sports. Like, people don't analyze the sport. So you see this all the time with NBA media. They don't analyze the actual X's and O's. They don't actually analyze the actual sport. It's a lot easier to say, oh, the Bucs sucks because Tom Brady went to the Barbados for 2 weeks.
And now that's getting to the WNBA. I mean, God forbid you type Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese into your Twitter search. You'll just see –
there's just narratives.
Yeah. There's people, no one else. I'm like, has there been a basketball game played? I want to watch basketball.
And the funny thing is, it's people that aren't even watching. And it's the same people that are commenting on the Aaron Rodgers situation. You have Colin Coward, which we don't even have to entertain Colin Coward's opinions, but people like him that are commenting on the Aaron Rodgers situation have not followed the Jets at all throughout the last 2 years. All they see is the headlines of, oh, you know, Rodgers skipped out on minicamp. Then they're just going to run.
Because it's unexcused. The word unexcused is driving people up a wall. Like, even though it and that's just semantics. That's just how the CBA is written. That's all that is. Like, it's not unexcused like he skipped school.
Yeah. People have already kind of ragged on Robert Saleh for that. I do think it could have been worded differently. Saleh has a tendency in situations like this to kind of – he's mixed up his wording on in situations like this in the past. And he's not technically wrong with what he said, but I think the first time he explained it, it could have been worded differently. But at the same time, as Saleh said today, I don't think the Jets or Saleh thought at all that this would be a situation that anyone would care about. So he wasn't really like going into it being like, all right, I need to watch my wording here. I need to say this the right way. Because from the Jets' perspective, this is meaningless. This is insignificant. Nobody cares. But obviously, the outsider's perspective, the national media covering this, they're going to care. They're going to treat it differently. They're going to look at this and be like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is going AWOL. He's going rogue. He's turning his back on his teammates. He's the distraction that he was talking about. No, it's not a distraction. The players don't care. The coaches don't care. The only ones who care are the people who are covering the team from the outside. That's why it's not going to matter come September.
I'm going to read a tweet from Connor Hughes. Pretty good, pretty ace reporter over here.
Sure.
Connor Hughes, which I think sums up kind of the feeling of this whole thing. Aaron Rodgers planned this trip while he was still rehabbing. The Jets have known about it from the moment there was an overlap with the release of the minicamp schedule. Rodgers is unexcused, quote unquote, because you can't excuse a trip, but not a contract dispute. So it's semantics, but there's no unrest inside the building. The Jets don't think it's a big deal. Not sure why the world is reacting differently. Same here. Rodgers missing these last 2 days after being at every voluntary workout for the last 2 years will have zero impact on what the Jets and Rodgers accomplish this coming season. Could not have said it better myself.
Yep.
This is people making a mountain out of a molehill if I have ever seen one. This is people just looking to get angry. But again, it's why are people angry at a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 12 years? Like, why us? Be mad at the Chiefs. Be mad at the Baltimore. Be mad at San Francisco. Those are teams to – you know, to get some rancor out, I guess, because they're successful all the time. Isn't that what normally breeds jealousy and contempt? Like, why the Jets?
A lot of it is Rodgers vitriol. Like, a lot of it is people just hating on Rodgers, which, again,
a lot of, like, Saleh too, and all same old Jets.
It is. Well, I think a lot of it is that some people believe, and some people see it as the Jets hitching their bandwagon to Aaron Rodgers, and as a result, they're now responsible for any hate thrown Aaron Rodgers' way. So if you hate Aaron Rodgers, by proxy, you don't hate the Jets. I get that to some extent. Like, I do, and I'm not – this isn't me getting on a platform and trying to defend every single thing that Aaron Rodgers has said or done. That's not what I'm doing. All I'm saying is that it's not a big deal to people in the building. And if we're going to believe that timeline, right, obviously Connor Hughes is reporting that, you would have to believe that he's being told that from Jets sources. So you never 100%, 1,000% know what the exact true story is. But if we are to believe that timeline, which it seems feasible, sounds like Aaron Rodgers booked a trip, whatever the trip is. It honestly doesn't really matter as long as he's not harming anybody else It does not matter really what the trip is. He booked the trip. It happened to be during minicamp, right? Because he did not book this trip knowing that minicamp was during that time. Minicamp schedule gets released. Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets and says, hey, I already have this thing that is really important to me that I booked ahead of time. Just letting you guys know. The Jets are like, okay, that's all right. He misses minicamp. That's what it seems like the timeline is, if we're to believe that. And if you just look at it like that, that's a non-story. That's an elite non-story. There's obviously no one's going to care. Obviously, the Jets aren't going to care. Obviously, the players are going to understand it's whatever. But we know why this is covered this way. It's covered this way because it's the Jets. It's covered this way because it's Aaron Rodgers. And it's June. That's how this stuff is going to always go.
So moving on to an absence that I think is of a little more concern.
Yes.
Hassan Reddick.
Really quick. And that's what's so funny. I know we're going to talk about this in a sec. This is the much bigger story.
Yes, this is an actual story.
And what's funny is, weirdly, the Aaron Rodgers nothingness, that non-story, is covering up an actually, not, I don't want to say a massive story, but an actually pretty notable story coming out of Jets minicamp, which is Hassan Reddick.
Here's what I'm going to just say. Here's what I think has happened with the whole Hassan Reddick situation. Now, okay. Reddick was traded for. He is grossly underpaid. He's like the 23rd or something highest paid edge rusher, yeah, when I think he's on the fringes of top 10, maybe in the top 10 across the entire league. He wanted a new deal because that's why you'd leave Philly. He's from South Jersey. Eagles are good. Like, that's why you would leave, because they weren't going to pay him. And they drafted a replacement in Nolan Smith and signed another replacement in Bryce Huff. So he saw the writing on the wall. They weren't going to pay him. Get me out of here. Okay, Jets get him. For a pretty good price, a third-round pick. That could turn into a second if, you know, magic happens, but third-round pick. So it seems to me, that what happened was they had agreed informally, you're going to play out the final year of this contract, and Reddick seemed okay with it. He comes to a press conference. He's talking about how he likes the Jets and Robert Saleh and everything like that. We're holding hands, singing Kumbaya. Everything is just sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Then, between then and now, I don't know if he changed his mind or somebody got in his ear, his agent or what. Now he's demanding a new deal. And I get it for his perspective, because he's going to be 30 soon. He has no more guaranteed money left. He's grossly underpaid. And he probably wants some security, especially if he's being traded to a team that is supposed to contend for a couple more years. He wants to be a part of that. So I get it. And somebody's going to pay him, but he wants the Jets to pay him because they're allegedly going to be better. So I get all that. But I still don't think that this is a great look for anybody, just because, number one, Robert Saleh has said he hasn't really talked to Hassan Reddick a lot, which, I mean, him and Rodgers are apparently texting every day. So that's a very different thread of communication over to Hassan Reddick. And I just think it shows that it just makes the Jets look disorganized and dysfunctional. Even if they maybe didn't have anything to do with this, which I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think what happened is Hassan Reddick went from, I'll play it out and then I'll be a free agent, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I'm probably going to go back to you guys for a pretty good deal. That's what I think originally the starting premises of this whole thing was. Now it's, I'm holding out, pay me. And I don't think Joe Douglas or Saleh, I don't think they had anything to do with that. But it just makes them look like they went into this without a plan. They just got Hassan Reddick, and they're like, oh, yeah, a guy with no guaranteed money is going to want to play the whole year with no guaranteed money. So makes them look short-sighted. Ultimately, I think this will get resolved, I think, before the season. I think they'll pay him a pretty good deal that goes north of $20 million a year, which I think is more than fair value for Hassan Reddick, but I would prefer that this didn't happen.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes them look the most incompetent in this situation is what Robert Saleh told the media. I think it was last week or week. I think it was a week ago, after OTAs, when he says, hey, I haven't been in contact with Hassan Reddick or where he's not been in OTAs, but we fully expect him to be there at minicamp. And then minicamp comes and he's not there. That is by far the thing that I think has made them look the most incompetent. Head coach not having contact with player. Head coach says player will be there at an event. Player's not there at the event. Head coach is, and now he has to answer questions about why this player isn't here. That's an issue, and that I think makes the Jets look incompetent. I don't know if we're going to know the full story. There's definitely like multiple different accounts that have kind of been told. I think it was from Connor Hughes. He basically said that Hassan Reddick like straight up just changed his mind on the situation. And that the Jets and him fully agreed that they were not going to work out a deal before the regular season. And now Reddick's changed his mind. I don't know how much I fully buy that. I don't know if I fully.
I mean, I could believe it.
I think that's the Jets' perspective of what happened. It was Rich Cimini who kind of offered a different perspective. I think this is more probably along the lines of what happened. I think it was more of like a communication issue where the Jets kind of figured that this would just get smoothened out, that they thought their relationship could fix the situation. They probably didn't expect to extend Hassan Reddick before the start of the season. Hassan Reddick was probably like, hey, I'd like an extension before the start of the season. The two sides probably agreed that they would address it at some point. That meant to the Jets, they're probably not going to extend him. That meant to Reddick, hey, hopefully we're going to get a deal done. And then when it became clear that the Jets probably were not aggressively looking to pursue an extension for Hassan Reddick, Reddick kind of was like it taken aback by this, probably went a little no contact with Robert Saleh, and then did not show up to team events, kind of making his stance clear, likely at the request of his agent telling him to do this stuff, advising him, saying, hey, if you want a new contract, don't show up to this and this, right? That's what I think more likely happened, is that Reddick was under the assumption that the Jets would be more active in trying to extend it before the season than the Jets wanted to be. Now, it's impossible for us to know like whose fault that is or, you know, what was actually said in these conversations. We don't know. I just think both sides thought they were on the same page and they weren't on the same page. I don't think Hassan Reddick just flipped his switch and just changed his mind. I also don't think it makes sense that a guy who is, you know, 30 years old or close to 30, who has zero guaranteed money left on his current contract, would want to go into the season without a new contract. Also, ignoring the fact that he is, as you said, significantly underpaid. That doesn't make much sense to me. So I don't see what Connor Hughes is reporting there. That would really surprise me if Hassan Reddick was just like, yep, I'm cool playing it out. I will be there at all team events, and we don't even have to think about a new extension before the season. That would surprise me. So I think that's more likely. The bigger discussion comes with now what is the resolution? Because last week, I remember we were talking about this on the show, and I remember I said that, you know, I'm pretty confident that this will get worked out. They'll extend them before the season. We'll all be okay. Well, now, I don't know how confident I am in that, because based on reports that are coming out now, especially, you know, again, I'll point to the Connor Hughes report, who he's generally reporting from the Jets' perspective. It sounds like the Jets don't want to get a deal done before the season. That tells me that they, barring anything changing, would have preferred this to be a rental situation. Because remember, we talked about this at the time of the Hassan Reddick trade. They could let Reddick walk in the offseason, recoup a comp pick, possibly as high as a 3, and then you're basically swapping a 3rd-round pick for a comp 3rd-round pick. Like, that's basically what you're doing. And then you have a
succession plan with Jermaine Johnson and Will McDonald. Yeah.
And you have a succession plan. You did not have to give him a new contract, Hassan Reddick. In fact, you are now paying Hassan Reddick less this year, you know, in terms of average annual value, than you would be paying Bryce Huff if you re-signed him. So if that was their plan, it's a pretty good plan. I think that's a good plan. That makes a lot of sense. The issue comes with, obviously, Hassan Reddick isn't going to want that. Like, Hassan Reddick doesn't want that plan. Hassan Reddick doesn't want to be a rental that gets used for a season and gets thrown aside for another team to pay. That's not what he wants, clearly. So I think the Jets, that was their plan of attack. But now that Reddick is kind of making us think about this, the question comes like, is two questions. There's twofold here. It's similar. It reminds me of the Jamal Adams situation a little bit, or basically any contract dispute. How far is Hassan Reddick willing to go? Like, how much of a stink is he willing to make about this? Is he willing to miss some of training camp?
That'd be tough.
Sure. How much of a stink is he willing to make about this? And then the second question, are the Jets willing to cave? Are they willing to negotiate some sort of Band-Aid extension? If we're talking about like what we think the resolution is going to be, I think that is the most likely solution. I don't think the Jets want this to continue to carry out. And I do think Hassan Reddick is going to really push for that extension because, again, he has no guaranteed money on his current deal. That's a dangerous situation for any player. Like, you don't want to be in that situation. So I think he's going to really push for it. I think ultimately, we'll get something along the lines of a 1 to 2 year deal, somewhere around what Danielle Hunter got, which was 2 years, $50 million, I think. maybe Reddick gets a little bit more. I could see him getting 26, 27-ish million a year on like a two-year deal. You have him for 2 years. That's great. And then once his contract's up, you can now pay Jermaine Johnson because it'll be time to pay Jermaine Johnson. I think that makes sense to me. That's a good timeline for both sides. I think Reddick wins in that scenario. I think the Jets win. It's not my ideal scenario. Again, we don't got to rehash the Bryce Huff stuff. We talked about a lot last week, but I think that makes the most sense for the Jets in this situation if they don't want this to really carry out in the training camp and become a real problem.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
See, I'll disagree in the idea of, while it could work, and I think the Jets were presenting it to themselves as it's a nice fallback option if we just get Reddick for a year, we then get the comp pick, and then essentially we just, for free, or for moving down like 10 spots in the draft order, got a guy who could get 11, 12 sacks, and then we just slide in a replacement. I think that's a good fallback option, and I think that's why this trade package was so attractive to them. But I also feel like they traded for Reddick with the intention of him being a more long-term, not long-term like 5-6 years, but like 2-3 years, him and Jermaine Johnson are your guys, with Will McDonald as more like a pass rush specialist kind of role. So this will get done eventually. I can't imagine it'd be a good idea for Reddick in a contract year to sit out, especially because then he'd be working himself. I mean, you see it all the time inside of, in football and baseball. And look how these guys who missed spring training and they've been struggling as pitchers, it takes a while to ramp up to full speed. I know he's going to be working out on the side and all that, but it takes a while. I don't think he'd do that to himself in a contract year. And I think the Jets don't want a malcontent. They don't want somebody who's disgruntled. They'll probably get something done with him. I think this is just him stamping his feet and trying to show the Jets where he's coming from. It's a shame it got to this, because now before he's even played a game, some fans already probably don't like him because of this, and he may not be here for very long, so he's already kind of starting off on the wrong foot. But he also posted on Twitter, I'm not calling it its new name, which is funny because all of his Twitter stuff is like, Jets are great, gotta love new teammates, excited to ball with you. That was May 30th,
yeah,
where he was excited to ball with his new teammates, with Quinnen Williams. So between May 30th and June 12th, something has changed. And then he tweets out, this is confusing, "Stop believing the foolery." Is that a word? Foolery? I know tomfoolery is a word. "Stop believing the foolery y'all see on these social media apps and news outlets, running crazy narratives and y'all eating it up." Okay. My response is, why don't you tell us what's going on here, Hassan? You seem to know what's going on because you're the only one who could know what's going on in your mind. I would like to hear from you. Don't lament that people are running with narratives when the only person to clear up the narrative, who could clear up the narratives, you, is refusing to do so and just go, man, these lying media at it again. Tell us quick. I respect that honesty. I'm looking for a new deal. Say it through your agent. Fine, I want a new contract before now. Just something. Because otherwise we're just twisting in the wind and we don't know what to do.
Someone says that's a Beastie Boys lyric. Is that a Beastie Boy? Is there a Beastie Boys lyric in there?
What, foolery? I don't know. That sounds like a Beastie Boys thing. You didn't say intergalactic planetary. I know that's a Beastie Boys lyric.
My knowledge of the Beastie Boys is kind of limited. He didn't say Brass Monkey, so I'm out. That's it.
Oh, it's like the worst song they have, but okay.
I know, it's a shit song. I know a few more Beastie Boys songs than that, but I'm making a joke.
R.I.P. MCA. All right.
yeah, but I don't know. Well, obviously, he can't tweet out, hey, I am currently engaged in a contract dispute with the Jets.
His agent could say, we want to sign to get paid before the season.
Yeah, but then his agent says that. Remember what happened when Marcus May's agent said that? Like, everyone hates him. Like, I don't think there's a
people
win.
Don't like him now anyway. Sure. He's holding out.
Sure. Well, and those people are going to be entitled to their opinion. I don't think it's a lose-lose situation. You say nothing, you say something, people are going to hate you regardless because people are going to always side with the team. Well, there's going to be people that always side with the team. There's going to be people that always side with the players. That's just how it goes. You're going to appeal to a certain audience. You're not going to appeal to the other audience. That's what it is. But ultimately, I do still think it gets worked out. I'm less confident than I was a week ago because, I don't know, like you say that was their fallback plan. But it's weird to me if the Jets' plan, if we're going to believe the Connor Hughes report, if the Jets' plan was fully, we're going to go into this season and let him play out this deal and play this out. I don't know. I feel like they're going. I feel like if that was their plan and they didn't even consider, like they had no plans to even engage in extension talks before the year, that tells me that they weren't sold on extending him. Because why not? Why not get it? Why not get ahead of the curve? Why not extend him before other guys are extended? It doesn't make sense to me. That tells me that they were kind of waiting to see what would happen. I'm not saying that they definitively would have let him walk, but it's a situation where they go into the year, see how he plays. More importantly, maybe see how a guy like Will McDonald plays. And if Will McDonald steps up and they think he can take that role over, maybe you do move on. So I think the fact that if that report is to be believed that the Jets did not plan to extend him before the year, that tells me they were not all in on Hassan Reddick and they were very willing to move on if need be after 1 year. And again, obviously, that's not going to appeal to Hassan Reddick. I understand why he would not want that.
I'm just reading between the lines before we move on to our next topic. Here's something I just thought about reading that post. So we've talked, he goes, don't believe what you see on social media. They're running crazy narratives. So the crazy narrative, here are the two narratives I've seen are the Jets don't want to sign to a deal before the end of the season. They may bring him back later, but they don't want to extend him right now. And Hassan Reddick wants an extension before the beginning of the season. If it's not one of those things, if those are crazy, then what is the real reason? If you're not holding out because you want to get money now, then what is it? Because that could be actually worse if he's actually just doesn't want to play for the Jets.
Maybe it
would be worse.
Maybe he's hanging with Aaron. We don't know. I mean, to be fair, and obviously I'd be shocked if this was not contract related. There's no way to actually know if it's contract related. All the reports about it being contract related are just speculation.
And just logically, like why else would you hold out?
Right. Like I said, I'd be shocked if it wasn't contract related. So you never know, but I don't know. I understand why I guess he's tweeting. He's probably frustrated and probably seeing a lot of people saying, probably not even like what we're saying here. Cause I feel like what we're saying here is not exactly a crazy narrative. It seems pretty logical, but there are definitely people who are going to run with it and who are going to be like, oh, he's being greedy and all this stuff. And I mean, there's been reports about what he might be looking for. I think it was either Connor Hughes or Zach Rosenblatt said he might be looking for upwards of $30 million a year.
Upwards of 30?
Right. And well, up to $30 million a year, like anywhere between 25 and $30 million a year. 30 would make him the second highest paid edge rusher in the NFL. Now, maybe that's not. And maybe that's a situation where he sees something like that and he's like, oh, that's a crazy narrative. Maybe I'm not asking for that much. Who knows? That could be something from the Jets saying, hey, look, he's asking for this much. No wonder why we don't want to extend him. That's how this stuff works sometimes. So I don't know. I don't know what he's referring to in that tweet. All I know is it doesn't tell a shit. And I don't think he wins anything by tweeting that out. It probably doesn't make the situation any better. But ultimately, it's just like Aaron Rodgers missing 2 days of minicamp. It's not going to matter come September. Hassan Reddick should be on the field come September. I'm less confident of that than I was a week ago, but I do still think a deal gets done.
Yeah, I don't think that would be – I don't want to say like career suicide because it's not like Le'Veon Bell's level, but
it would also be really terrible for the Jets. Like imagine he did hold out throughout training camp and now he does come up. Now he does show up to regular season. He's not in great shape and he has to work himself into conditioning. That looks bad on Reddick, absolutely, and that hurts himself. But it really looks bad on the Jets that they traded for this guy who they knew wanted a new contract, didn't give him that new contract, and now their big prized offseason addition is not the player they thought he was. That looks bad for both parties. I think
it would look worse on Reddick because the Jets are at least saying, like, hey, you're at least contracted to play football for us. Like, what more can they do? They can't, like, physically pick you up and take you to Florham Park.
It doesn't matter who looks worse. It matters that both look bad. And that's what matters. Neither side or both sides are incentivized to have that not be the case. That's the point I'm making here. Like, it's not like the Jets versus Reddick. It should be them working together to not look bad and to not have this situation escalate beyond a certain point. Because the longer Reddick is not with the team, the worse it looks for both parties. The worse the outcome is for both parties. So both parties are working towards the same goal of trying to get this resolved. That's why I think some kind of compromise will be agreed to. I don't think they're giving him a 4-year contract. 1 to 2 year kind of Band-Aid deal makes the most sense to me.
So we will move into, you know what? I'm going to call an audible. Let's talk about another guy who wants a new deal.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's do this.
Let's talk about DJ Reed.
Sure.
Because DJ Reed is in the same camp as Hassan Reddick where he wants a new contract. The Jets do not want to give him a new contract right now. But the only difference is DJ Reed showing up. And that's not some like big, like, oh, look at what a leader DJ Reed. That's not that. It's just those are Hassan Reddick's doing one thing, DJ Reed's doing another thing.
Sure.
The whole DJ Reed free agency thing is fascinating to me because I don't know how they're going to handle this. Like, let's just imagine they pay Hassan Reddick, which I think ultimately they do. I don't know for how long, but I imagine Hassan Reddick is going to be on the team this year and next year.
Yeah.
Like, that's a reasonable bit, gamble. Well, then you also had – this is, again, why I was less in on the Bryce Huff than most because there's just so many guys you need to pay. There's Sauce Gardner, there's Garrett Wilson, there's Jermaine Johnson, there's Breece Hall, there's possibly Will McDonald, depending on how things go. You don't know how long Aaron Rodgers is going to last. Perhaps if it goes a couple of years, you got to give him a new deal too. There's a lot of moving parts. Michael Carter, a lot of guys you need to pay. So Reed, this is not going to say – I don't want this to come off negative. Because I like DJ Reed a lot. I think he's perpetually underrated. I think because people always think, well, they're not throwing the ball at Sauce Gardner, so they got to be moving the ball on DJ Reed. Well, not really. Yeah. He's had some bad games, yeah, like Jalen Waddle's beat him a couple times. But DJ Reed is, I would say, a top 15 to 20 cornerback in the league. And he's probably the third best on the Jets, which tells you how good the Jets are. If there's a veteran that I think they probably, I don't want to say shouldn't pay, but will end up not paying, I think it'll be him just because if you want to lose a corner of his stature, well, you got probably the best in the league in Sauce Gardner to make up for it. And maybe the best slot corner in the league in Michael Carter, that makes it a lot easier to say, all right, we could subtract from here and use that money to reinforce here. You can reconcile that easier in your mind. I would not be opposed to DJ Reed coming back. Certainly, I know Connor Hughes did not to bring make this an all Connor show, but he has also been very vocal about how he wants DJ Reed to be resigned. He's a leader. He plays hard. He's durable. He makes plays. I could totally see the Jets just caving, giving Reed a new deal. I mean, he got 3-33 last time. It'll be way more than that, probably in the 20 range. If I'm being honest,
yeah.
So that's a big commitment. And it probably makes it less likely that Jermaine Johnson, or as much as I love him, Breece Hall gets a deal because he is a running back and why I would pay him. You know, GMs and running backs these days. That's why Joe Douglas, I was calling Joe Carter, Joe Douglas keeps drafting running backs to have that depth. But it's becoming hard for, if I were to build my ideal vision of the team, there's very few scenarios in which I imagine keeping Reed at that price because he's not going to sign an $11 million a year contract again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I hinted at this a previous episode when we were talking about
James Woody says AVT too. You got to pay AVT too.
Yep. Absolutely. Another guy. And he's going to be having to get paid soon. You know, if he stays healthy this year and he plays at a high level, absolutely a guy you need to extend. Yeah.
I think I how long Tyron Smith's going to be here. What if he wants to come back again?
Sure.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah. I think we talked about this briefly in the past, but yeah, this is a good time to talk about this more in depth now because, you know, DJ Reed's a phenomenal player. One of the best free agent signings that the Jets have made in a long time. You could honestly say ever, probably. I think he qualifies in, you know, maybe a top 10 free agent signing in Jets history. There's not been a lot that come to mind.
A lot more Tremaine Johnsons than DJ Reed's.
Yeah, he very firmly fits in that camp for the value that they've gotten him at. Like you said, Mike, I mean, on the field, off the field, he's been everything the Jets could have wanted for, and he's still a really, really good player. I don't even say still. He's only 27 years old. Dude is not old. He'll be 28 when he hits free agency, assuming he hits free agency next year. That is somebody you want to pay. That is somebody that should get a payday, and I hope he does. I don't think it's going to be from the Jets. And that sucks to say. It's just a numbers game, and I hate that. I don't even want to, like, because the Bryce Huff thing, like, I'd rather pay Bryce Huff $17 million than Hassan Reddick. 26, 27 million, whatever to give him, right? But that's besides the point. You got to pay so many guys. You already rattled so many of them off. Jermaine Johnson's going to get paid. You have to pay Breece Hall. Like, I don't care. What they should do is they should extend Breece Hall next offseason, the first chance they get. Get him for his prime years before the expected decline eventually starts. That's what you should do. Give him a 3-4 year deal. Make 2 or 3 of those years guaranteed. You got Breece Hall under contract for his prime. That's what you should do there. Obviously, Sauce Gardner's going to get paid. You assume Garrett Wilson's going to get paid. There's a lot of guys that got to get paid here. Michael Carter. DJ Reed feels like the odd man out. And that sucks. But, you know, we were talking about this briefly before the show. You can live. If you have Sauce Gardner and Michael Carter, you don't need a DJ Reed. It's amazing to have a DJ Reed. And DJ Reed's a fantastic player. Top 20 corner, probably pushing top 15. He's a number one corner on a lot of teams. If you can have that trio, you have Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, Michael Carter, which the Jets do now. That is the best cornerback trio in the NFL. It's one of the best cornerback trios we've seen in a long time. That's amazing. But it's a luxury. It's not a necessity. And extending guys like Garrett Wilson, extending guys like Sauce Gardner, like Breece Hall, like eventually Jermaine Johnson, those are much more necessities than extending a guy like DJ Reed. And that sucks to say. The other aspect of this is I think the Jets are looking at this in multiple ways. They drafted a guy named Quantes Stiggers this year in the 5th round, who, by all accounts, is very impressive in OTAs. He's been very impressive this spring. Dude's a complete wild card. He's a complete dart throw. He has never played a single down of organized college football. He went from the fan-controlled football league to the CFL, and now he's in the NFL. You don't know what you're getting from him. But by all accounts, he's played pretty well, and he's looked the part, and he is impressing, with some reporters even saying, hey, he's pushing for cornerback 4, which your 4th cornerback right now is Brandon Echols, who I don't think Brandon Echols is anything special. He's not DJ Reed, but I think on some teams, he might be pushing for a starting job. I think he's a quality NFL cornerback, solid player, and if he can get even better, awesome. Maybe he can compete for that second cornerback job opposite Sauce Gardner in the future. And the other option is, it's early right now, but next year's cornerback class is looking pretty good. There's a couple of guys I know that are near the top of a lot of people's draft boards right now that obviously a lot can happen. It's only June, but Jets are certainly looking ahead and saying, hey, we have a couple of guys there we might want it. We might like. All of those things combined make me think that the Jets will not extend DJ Reed, and that really sucks. And shout out to Reed for showing up here and not making us think about it. Again, that's not like you know, shame on Hassan Reddick for doing it. Those are two vastly different situations. But DJ Reed has every right to be like, hey, look, I want a new deal before the season starts. He's not going to get it. I think he knows that. The Jets are aware of that. They're going to let it play out. Is there a scenario where DJ Reed comes back next year? Yes. It would not be at what I imagine his current market value is. But if for whatever reason that market value goes down, whatever the case would be, I think there's a scenario where he comes back. But I'd be surprised at this stage if he is on the Jets in 2025. And that sucks to say because he's a great player, great dude, and he's been a wonderful addition to the team. But you can't pay everybody. And that sucks, and that's a reality. It's a reality that the Jets have not had to face in a long time. It's been a long time since we've had the discussion with the Jets of, oh, who do you pay? Who do you let go? That's a very unfamiliar discussion for the Jets, but it's the situation they find themselves in, because that 2022 draft class is going to get paid, and there's four guys there that you have to pay. They're all four all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber players, not to mention other guys like Elijah Tucker, you know, Michael Carter, whatever. So the day of reckoning is coming, and unfortunately, I don't think DJ Reed is going to be a part of that next team beyond 2024. But
it's a dramatic way to say the day of reckoning, but okay.
It's the day of reckoning is like, you're going to have to pay guys. You're going to have to pull out the checkbook. It's coming, Joe Douglas, and he knows.
I view Reed in the same way that I think I viewed Bryce Huff, which took some of the, I guess, the venom out of my displeasure in seeing him go to the Eagles, which is, if you're going to subtract veteran players and you're going to subtract, because you have to pay these guys, that's been my concern for however long, is how do we keep all four of these draft class guys? Because they're all so good. They had enough defensive line depth. Edge rusher, we can get it, but defensive line depth, I felt like they had enough where you could take away a $17 million investment in Huff and use, this is before Reddick, and use it somewhere else. If there's a place where you can subtract some of your talent, it's the cornerback spot. Now, as good as this trio is, the best in the league, dare I say performance-wise, one of the best ever. I know they don't have like the record to show for it, but I mean, the Dome Patrol Saints in the 80s weren't winning. A lot of people say they're the best linebacking core ever. Yeah. All four of them made the Pro Bowl together a couple times. So, like, in terms of just how good they've been, exemplary.
Yep.
But this is not common in the NFL. These things don't last. So, Reed, I feel like he's going to have to – I wouldn't go putting a lease down on an apartment anytime soon in New York, or a house anytime soon, just because – I feel like the Jets are going to try to make an effort, but Joe Douglas, I think, is going to say, this is the most we're going. I don't care what I say, this is the most we're doing. And I don't think that'll be received well by Reed, who's way outplayed his contract.
Oh, absolutely. He deserves a payday. He will get a payday, hopefully, from somebody. And that's why somebody like Quantes Diggers is probably one of the most underratedly important players on the roster this year. Because if he impresses enough to the point where the Jets feel comfortable going into next year with him, I don't want to say locked into a starting role, because he'd have to do a lot for that, but at least just competing for a starting job. I mean, heck, if he develops into a starter, dude, you got a fifth-round rookie who's got three more years of team control left, locked in as your cornerback too, opposite Sauce Gardner, and alongside Michael Carter, who are both going to get paid in the very near future. That is an incredible luxury to have. So if Quantes Diggers can develop into that kind of player for the Jets.
I don't want to put too much on. I mean, he is a fifth round, end of the fifth round.
It's not a big if. I'm not saying he will. It's a huge if. Again, it's even a bigger. This isn't just a fifth round rookie. It's a fifth round rookie who came from the CFL, who never played college football. 2 years ago was playing in the fan-controlled football league. This isn't just like a fifth round pick. This is like an anomaly, an extreme anomaly. I mean, first of all, it's an anomaly him even making it to the NFL, but it'd be an even more extreme anomaly if he develops into some kind of a starter for the Jets. But I'm just saying that, like, if I could pick one player on the Jets roster to like take that step this year, he's in the top three for me, where it's like, all right, if he can prove this, then all right, you can move on from DJ Reed, and it's not as significant of a blow. And on top of that, you have a now cheap starter on a very, very, very inexpensive contract. That's a huge luxury for the Jets. So if I could just like pick one guy from the roster and be like, all right, you're going to be a future starter, he's probably near the top of my list.
So the defense, solid gold. Absolutely. Everybody loves him. The offense, bad. Well, dare I say inept. Dare I say unwatchable, Dreck Pap. That is the equivalent of football Ipecac that just makes you throw up and get sick and
damn,
just vomit engorged pieces of your intestine all over the place. Hey, that's what last year was.
Zach Wilson's gone, man. Relax.
you see these scars? They're real. You watch entire Tim Boyle games.
Dude.
Tim Boyle. Contractually mandated fun. What was it? Wasn't that a Weird Al thing? Mandatory fun? That's
maybe sure. I will stand by the fact that Zach Boyes, who is currently the quarterback for D3 SUNY Cortland, is a better quarterback than Tim Boyle.
Didn't he go into the draft this year, or was that
hopefully next year? That Cole Burgess, wide receiver, who on the national champs, SUNY Cortland Red Dragons, signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. Also, JJ Lapp, another receiver from that team, currently on the Los Angeles Rams. Two Cortland alum currently in the NFL. We also have an interview with Cole Burgess up on the channel, if anyone's interested.
Yes, we do.
Anyway, so, sorry.
Let's talk about who could be coordinating these offenses, because they picked good spots going to Cincinnati and LA in terms of offenses. The Jets do not have that. Now, Nathaniel Hackett nominally is the offensive coordinator. Any other team, he would have been fired. We don't need to keep going over chapter and verse about how we know he stinks. He knows he stinks. The team knows he stinks. He knows that he's deplorable. Like, we're just going to live with it at this point. So to apparently accommodate this large baby man's feelings, they are trying to find ways to work around Nathaniel Hackett. Because normally, not only is he the offensive coordinator, I feel like even if you compared him to other offensive coordinators across the league, I feel like he had as much responsibility and control over the entire offense as anybody last year. I mean, they gave him the keys to everything. Now, again, they gave Aaron Rodgers the keys to a lot of it too, and then he was not able to use his keys because of his injury. Fair enough. But Hackett did himself no favors. So after trying to hire I don't even know how this worked, like an offensive coordinator who would call plays, but Hackett's still the coordinator. I don't know how it would work. They tried to do that. They failed. It seems like the Jets are going internal with that, because the 2-minute drill, which was one of Hackett's alleged specialties in Green Bay, it was 2-minute drill in the gold zone, because he's Austin Powers. God, I hate this guy so much. I can't wait till he's gone. Do you want to keep him?
No. It's fair, man.
To find ways to work around that, they are now having Todd Downing call plays in the 2-minute drill. Now, obviously, this is nothing official just yet. It's clearly this is the time to experiment with stuff, and they just want to see how it works. But I think the fact that they're even experimenting with this, it's not great for Nathaniel Hackett. I don't know if they're doing it now because Rodgers isn't here. And like Rodgers wants his guy Hackett and Todd Downing, they're trying with somebody else. But as bad as Todd Downing is, remember he had a DUI, which I don't like for a guy who's supposed to be responsible at this age. And he was not particularly good. I mean, he was much worse than Bill Musgrave in Oakland. He was not impressive as a tight ends coach in Minnesota. He was bad as a Titans offensive coordinator. Go talk to any Titans fan, you know, if you could find them. They do not have a lot of complimentary things to say about Todd Downing. That's putting it mildly.
He was very bad.
With Derrick Henry, he struggled to run the ball at times. So think about that. It was like pulling teeth there. So he's not a great option, but he is the lesser of two evils in this situation. So if the Jets find that for some reason Rodgers or Tyrod Taylor or who else clicks better with Todd Downing, as long as it gets Hackett as far away from the offense as possible, I'm fine with that. Like, what they're almost trying to do with Hackett is, you ever, like, when you were a kid, I don't know if you had, like, a younger brother or, you know, a younger cousin or something like that, you're playing a video game, and then you hand them an unplugged controller, and they're like, yeah, that's you. You're playing. You're player two right now. That's what the Jets are doing with Nathaniel Hackett.
Bro, that's actually a really good analogy. That's crazy. That's a really good analogy. Honestly, look, Nathaniel Hackett sucks. That's just, let's say that, right? He sucks. Everyone knows it.
Like, no one's even denying it. That's the funny part.
I'm just stating a fact at this point. It's not an opinion. It almost feels like
you wouldn't even entertain this if he didn't suck.
I get shades, like, when I see stuff like this, I get shades of Adam Gase where it's like, oh, let's let Dole Loggins call some plays for a couple games. And I'm like, well, that.
He was so good at throwing that challenge flag.
He was, dude. He would throw that shit. Like,
oddly enough, last year he was at South Carolina. He helped Spencer Rattler become a pretty good quarterback. So
he was getting, like, the South Carolina fans are big Dole Loggins fans, which is hilarious. Like, it's fine.
He's good in college. Just don't come to the Jets or any other NFL.
It's so wild how, like, certain coaches could have completely different narratives depending on where they are. Like, their South Carolina fans love Dole Loggins, and then Jets fans obviously and think very poorly of him.
Easier to coach 19-year-old kids or 30-year-old grown men?
Well, actually, that's a fair question. I think it depends on the situation. But besides the point, the reason that I'm saying this is that Todd Downing is also very bad. I don't want Jets. I saw a bunch of Jets fans reacting to this and being like, oh yes, like, let's go, you know, Todd Downing. Let's give the reins over to Todd Downing. Downing is also very bad. You mentioned his struggles in Tennessee. I found very interesting stat. from his last year in Tennessee that kind of just explained how inept of a play caller he was with the Titans. So in 2022, his last year as play caller, his last year as offensive coordinator with the Titans,
did he get fired because of the DUI, or they just brought him back and didn't retain him?
I think he got fired unrelated to the DUI.
That's what I thought.
I think he was let go completely independent of the DUI. Yeah, he was let go in January. The DUI happened in November. And he was brought back after the DUI.
So I guess that was the final straw. They're like, all right, enough of this. Right.
It was also just very bad at his job. For example,
on top of that, like, he had a 5% chance and that took it to zero of coming back.
Sure. The Titans in 2022 had the second highest run rate on first downs. They would almost always run it on first downs. Obviously, of Derrick Henry, fair. This was despite defenses stacking the box at the fourth highest rate. So everyone knows the Titans are running it on first down. They're still doing it anyway. Unsurprisingly, those runs ranked fourth worst in efficiency. So
with Derrick Henry.
With Derrick Henry. So they continued to run against heavy stack boxes on first down, despite the fact that it was never working. And all of that being said, the Titans also, on first down passes, ranked third in efficiency. So they were one of the most efficient passing teams on first down. They just never did it. And they exclusively ran, and they were really inefficient at that. They were really bad at that.
Which is funny, because in Oakland, he was chucking the ball at an insane rate when he was at the Raiders.
He saw Derrick Henry, and he's like, all right, we're giving this guy 35 carries a game.
Which is reasonable, but then he does that. So
right, it's reasonable if the certain circumstances call for it. So all of that is to say, Todd Downing did a very bad job with the personnel he was given in Tennessee. Titans fans will be the first ones to tell you that. It's not going to matter if Todd Downing is the one calling plays. It's not going to matter if Nathaniel Hackett is the one calling plays. Because at the end of the day, what matters is Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback, and he's going to be the guy running the offense. The Jets have made that abundantly clear. It's been made abundantly clear in reports. We know what's going on with the offense. It is Aaron Rodgers' offense. Sure, Robert Saleh is getting involved, and I believe, you know, Saleh, or I think it was it Connor Hughes reported this? Not to, again, bring up Connor Hughes again. But I believe his report, because he was the one who said that Downing was the one initially taking doing the two-minute drill. Yeah, he said, Saleh chose to mix up play callers on both sides of the ball during the unscripted portions of practice, wanted to give coordinators and coaches different perspectives from what they normally do. Hackett is still expected to be the primary play caller. Sure, whatever. Even if it was Todd Downing, even if they gave the reins to Todd Downing, it wouldn't matter because, as we all know, Aaron Rodgers is the guy doing it. So I don't really care. I don't care if it's Nathaniel Hackett. He stinks. I don't care if it's Todd Downing. He stinks. Basically, the entire offensive coaching staff stinks. We've been over this ad nauseum. That is, if there was one flaw with this Jets roster, outside of maybe like safety or health, right, that could be a flaw. The most glaring and obvious flaw is the offensive coaching staff is very bad. It is egregiously bad. So, yeah, Hackett's bad. Downing's bad. It doesn't really matter which one of them is calling plays, quote unquote. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
I just had a very interesting scenario come up thinking about this.
Right, what do you got?
Like last year we said that what if the nightmare scenario happened and then the nightmare worse than even the nightmare scenario. Nobody could have even imagined that. Let's say that happens again and Rodgers ends up missing a lot of time.
Okay.
You think there's a part of Robert Saleh that will say, all right, if Rodgers is gone again, that makes Hackett even more redundant. If Tyrod Taylor has to play, Todd Downing will call the plays.
Yes. I think that's it's, you know what it's like? It's like, you know, some pitchers have like catchers that specifically
Mayfield used to have like a personal knuckleball catcher. Yeah.
Yep. There are certain pitchers that have certain catchers. It'd almost be like Nathaniel Hackett is the Aaron Rodgers offensive coordinator. But if it's anyone else,
I could be the Aaron Rodgers offensive coordinator.
Yes. Yes, you can.
I guess that's the weird thing. Like it's
friends with him.
Your analogy falls apart because some pitchers, like every pitcher has a very specific style. And no, it can be influence heavy or not. Like Rodgers is the most idiot-proof guy to quarterback. You don't even call the plays half the time he does.
It would be like if a pitcher.
Like, that's not even like a thing you could specialize in because like we could specialize in that, and then Rodgers just calls his own plays anyway. And then what a genius guy we look like.
Hackett specialized in friendship. That's his specialty. It would be like if a pitcher wanted a specific catcher to call his games because he was friends with that catcher. That's what it would be like.
Well, it's funny. Like there's guys like that too, where it's like, you know, they keep the vibes good and stuff like that. And they're just really, and like Udonis has
Tanzel Smart.
Like, yeah, Tanzel great Smart. Vibes, great personality. Everybody loves him. The personality hire guy.
Yeah.
Hackett doesn't seem like that. He seems like this weird, like, corny guy talking about Tugalicious and Austin Powers. Like, he looks like a goofy, weird guy.
I think the guys like him, but it is, I've not heard anything saying that the players don't like him.
It'd be weird if he was like a Mike McDaniel, like, savant who just had this beautiful mind that could just break down stuff like that. And like, all right, he's like this weird, almost like a mad scientist guy. Yeah, you just learn to, you know, work around him kind of thing and let him do his thing. Hackett's not like that. He's like, hey, you want to watch, you know, Shrek 2 or whatever the hell he does in his free time instead of breaking down plays? Because I know he doesn't do that because we've seen the evidence of that.
He's totally a Shrek 2 fan. Like, that's 100%.
I've only seen the first one, and I was 7, so I can't comment on that.
He watches Shrek. He watches Austin Powers. That's totally his thing.
He loves Anchorman, which, like,
great movie. But yes, it's
a funny movie, but not like everybody can quote it like ad nauseum. It's just like whatever to me. The Other Guys is a 50 times superior film. That I will defend all day I die.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you're missing out.
I've seen Anchorman 2 as well.
It's Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. And I'm blank. Oh, yeah. Samuel Jackson and The Rock are in it for like 5 minutes.
Okay. Which is pretty funny. Sure. Right.
And Michael Keaton is like the police chief. He's great in that. So
maybe this is mean. I'm sorry, not to derail movie talk.
Oh, no. Heaven forbid we do that in a Jets podcast.
This is how you know it's getting close to 4 o'clock. We start talking about movies. maybe this is mean. I feel like Nathaniel Hackett is a high school football coach who just happened to have a coach or a father who coached in the NFL.
Yes. Paul Hackett.
That's what he is. Maybe that's mean. Like, I don't want to be mean to the guy. I've never met him.
Or college coach. He can be the next Dowell Loggins. He can go to college and be great.
Imagine being like, if you dream hard enough, you can be the next Dowell Loggins.
Going into people's houses, like mom's houses to recruit kids.
That's shitty, though. Dowell Loggins accomplished more than me. That sounds shitty. But it's so funny to be like, Dowell Loggins.
Heck, it was the OC at Syracuse when Doug Marone got hired.
He was.
So he can do it. He can do it in college.
Sure. Honestly, I feel like he is like he has the mentality, like the personality of like a goofy high school football coach. Like, I've seen coaches like him in high school. I know them. I've seen coaches like that at the high school level, and the players all love him. It's fun, whatever. Maybe his team doesn't win a lot of games, but he's a fun coach. Like, I feel like that's what he was meant to be in this life. He just happened to be the son of an NFL coach. And now, as a result, he gets to be the offensive coordinator for maybe the most talented Jets team in franchise history, one of the most talented Jets teams in franchise history. And he just so happened to befriend one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. And that's why he is in the position he's in. And it's honestly, I'm not saying I feel bad for him, but it's like the guy's clearly not, he's overwhelmed by the situation he's in. But look, man, it's good for him. He's along for the ride. He's like you said, Mike, he is the little brother that you gave the controller that is unplugged. And he's just kind of pretending to play along.
It's like if you were on like a big luxury airliner, like all, you know, done up and the luxury and modern and sleek. And then you look in there and then the pilot's just like, you know, the stern old captain guy. And then it's like his grandson's in there. It's like, hey, take your grandson to work day, right, Billy? And then Billy's the co-pilot. Billy out of there. We're on a luxury airliner. We want an actual pilot.
And then every once in a while, the grandson like kind of takes over or worse. The grandpa tears his Achilles, and now the grandson is piloting the ship, and you don't know what's going on.
Beep, poof, and goes down.
And the replacement pilot is completely incompetent in his job. And
replacement pilot?
I'm trying to make an analogy to Zach Wilson's.
The steward is Todd Downing. What, like the stewardess handing out the peanuts or something?
I was more thinking Zach Wilson. Oh yeah, Todd Wilson. Todd Downing could be like, yeah, Todd Downing could be one of the flight attendants.
Zach's in the cargo bed. So. Now that we've completely tortured this analogy and ruined it.
Wait, who's Robert Saleh?
Who's Robert Saleh?
Is Robert Saleh flight control? Is he?
You know, he's like the, what do they call it? The air marshal?
Yeah.
The cop who sits in the front row. And
Maybe Joe Douglas, too. I feel like that also fits Joe
Douglas. Douglas is too big. He can't fit there. So thank you guys for tuning into the Jeff Press podcast. I'm sorry, Joe Douglas.
Oh my God! That's
sometimes crazy. You got to take the layups, man. That was too easy.
All right, thankfully it's a mid-June show. No one's watching this shit anyway.
Oh, dude, no, we actually got a ton on YouTube for a while. Yeah, and actually,
Twitter. Really tuning in to watch this. All right, Mike, that about does it, right?
Oh, dear. So thank you for tuning into the Jeff Press Podcast. As always, you can find us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. We are there. And we're on YouTube. That's where you can like and subscribe. They really do help to support the show. Justin, any final words?
No, man.
For the show, not like, and then we'll execute you. I know that sounded really dramatic.
And then the plane.
Any last words?
And the plane's going to go down.
With the plane. We're done with the plane.
All right. No, I have nothing else to say. Thank you all for joining us on the show today. You can follow Mike on Twitter at @MikeLuciano. Follow me on Twitter at Justin T. Freed. Follow Jeff Press and Jeff Press. Download Jeff Press Podcast wherever you get your podcast. As Mike was just mentioned, check us on YouTube. Subscribe, like, notification bell, that stuff. You guys know what to do. We stream live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you all for listening to Jeff Press Podcast. I've been Justin Freed. That has been Mike Luciano. See you guys next time.
See you folks next week.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free to play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.